started an entire year-long series, and I'm really excited about it. It's called 2012 AD, Year of Our Lord. And so if you look inside this binder, it has a little note that I wrote to you, special. And you can read it later before you fall asleep at night as part of your daily ritual. But I wrote you a little note to tell you what this series is about. And also, if you see, there are divider tabs. And as we go through this year-long series, there are smaller parts of this series that are divided up. And each time we hit one of those dividers, we're going to be talking about a different trait of God. So you can see even for the whole year where we're going to be going and what we're going to be talking about and what that's going to look like. All right? Now, the other thing I want to show you is that over here, we have these really awesome note pages. Now, we've had these note pages before. We had them during the fall and everything, but there's something different about these note pages. Can anybody guess what it is? Oh, they're hole punched. Yeah, they're hole punched. You can actually put these note pages into your binder. So if you're here every single week, by the end of the year, you should have an entire binder filled with what we've talked about that you can look back and remember. And if ever you're like curious, wait, what did we talk about when God was the Redeemer? What was that about? You can look back into your notes and see, ah, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what we talked about. Yes? Because that's what you say when you say hi to someone. You say, hey, skater. I say, hey, skater.
Hey, skater.
Hey, skater. On the back of these note pages. On the back of these note pages, there are questions. And every week there will be questions. Now, how many of you are part of a D group? Slide your hand up. Awesome. Okay, good. Put your hands down. In your D group, you and your group may decide to use these questions as sort of a way to reflect on the morning and talk about these in your D group. That's an option that you have. Now, you may be talking about something else, and that's totally fine, but these are for you. If your D group doesn't use these are a great thing for you guys to do on an individual basis, to go back through at some point in the week and kind of ask these questions and figure out, okay, how did what we talked about on Sunday morning really matter to me? Now, I do want to give you a heads up. For whatever reason, these were cut a little bit weird, and they don't completely, you kind of have to tear the page a little bit to get it to fit into the book. So we'll fix that for next week, but for this week, you kind of have to move it around a little bit. So over here on either side, you'll see that there's a Bible cart, you'll see that there's pens, you'll see that there are these note pages, and there may or may not be candy left. Some of our middle schoolers are a little sticky finger heavy-handed on the candy. So please go ahead and take about 30 seconds to grab what you need and head back to your seat. And while you guys are waiting, you can continue to ask your speed friending questions to the person next to you if you're not yet best friends with them. All right, you have 25 more seconds. Throw some elbows. Get up there. Grab the stuff and get in. Fifteen more seconds. Ten more seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. If you're still grabbing something, if you can do it quietly, we're going to pray to open this time up and invite God in. So if you can quiet down. Now, I'm going to be the one talking, but that doesn't mean that you are not praying. I want you to pray with me. So using that internal voice that you can hear in your head, I want you to go ahead and pray while I pray. Dear Father God, I thank you so much that we have the opportunity to come here together, to gather together, that you give us resources like binders and Bibles and pancakes and candy and pens. Father God, we are so thankful for that. Father, I ask that you would just come into this place, that your Spirit would fill us, that we wouldn't be distracted by anything, but we'd be able to completely focus on you. In your holy and precious name, amen. So let me explain a little bit about the series of what we're going through this year. Now, I had this thought a couple months ago where when I step off this ledge, I know what's going to happen to me, and you guys know what's going to happen to me. What will happen? I will fall. I'm not going to fly. I wish I would fly, but I'm not. I'm going to fall. Are you ready? We all knew that that was going to happen because of a little thing called gravity. Right? We all get that there is truth about gravity that we deal with in our everyday lives. There's truth about gravity, and it affects the things we do every single day. So it affects the fact that we walk instead of fly. It affects the fact that I was talking to Jake Cowan. He was saying that he's afraid to fall. He's not afraid of heights, but he's afraid to fall. Is that okay that I share that, Jake? You're right with that? Okay, good. So he's afraid to fall. He knows that if he falls off a 10-story building, he's going to die. So there are things in our lives that we change every day because we believe certain things about gravity. We know them to be true. Now, the same thing is true about who God is. There are truths about who God is that change and affect the things that we do in our everyday lives. Now, a lot of us have chosen for a long time to completely ignore those truths, that we've said, nope, who God is doesn't really affect my everyday life. But that's not true. It affects everything if you let it. So that's what this year is going to be all about. The first aspect of God that we're going to be talking about is Him being the Redeemer. Him being the Redeemer, we're going to talk about how that affects your everyday life, all right? So in order to kind of bring this to light, I've got this piece of paper here, and I've got this other piece of paper here. Okay, now they are completely the same size, right? They're the same size. They're even different shades of green, but they're both green. Now, they're rectangles. They're the same shape. And yet, if I tear this one up, does anybody care about this one? No, nobody really cares about that one, right? It's just paper. If I tear this one up, all of a sudden there's some protesting. There's some people saying, no, don't do that. But at the same time, this is paper just like this is paper, except for one difference, right? Nate's saying no. It has worth. There is value to this. Now, I think back sometimes, and I think the irony of money, because really this is just paper. And the only reason why I could buy a couple pairs of shoes or a couple pairs of jeans or some gaming system, part of a gaming system or a really old gaming system with this, the only reason that I could do that is because somebody at some point said, this piece of paper is worthless, but this piece of paper is valuable. And the person who did that has a special name. He's called the Redeemer. He's the one, the Redeemer is the one who sees value in something and says, yeah, I'll trade for that one. I'll trade for that money. I'll give you whatever equal or lesser value of what is for that money. I'm the Redeemer. I see worth in that. I'm going to own that thing, right? Now, God does this special thing. God, throughout the entire Bible, is called the Redeemer. All through the Old Testament, through the book of Ruth and Isaiah and Jeremiah, he is called the Redeemer. And we want to look today at what that really means. It means that he's the one that saw something that everyone thought was just a little piece of paper, trash, and he said, nope, that one's valuable. That one means something, and I'm willing to trade for it. That is what makes him the Redeemer. Now, there's truths about God being the Redeemer that affect our everyday lives, just like there are truths about gravity that affect our every single day lives. Now, how many of you understand that in this world we live under, if we are not followers of God, we live under a curse. Raise your hand if you get that. We live under a curse. All right, most of you, no. Put your hands down, that's great. Let me tell you about it. In the beginning, when God created the earth, there were two people. They were Adam and Eve, right? And God put them in this perfect paradise. We've talked about this before. This is probably one of my favorite stories in the Bible. He puts them in this perfect paradise, the Garden of Eden. And he says, you can do whatever you want. And then one day, Eve's hanging out, and she's sitting there. You're going to be Eve. And this snake comes up, says, hey, Eve. And she says, hey there. And he goes, hey, did God say you could eat anything in the garden? And Eve says, well, actually, he told us we could eat anything, but we couldn't eat from this one tree, knowledge of good and evil. And the snake says, did he really say that? And she goes, yeah. She says that if we eat it, we will die. He didn't say you were going to die. He said that if you eat it, you would be like him. He just doesn't want you to be like God. He doesn't want you to know good from evil, but you are not going to die. Go ahead. Go ahead and eat it. And Eve kind of thinks and says, all right, yeah, I'd like to be like God. So she takes the fruit, she takes a bite, and she gives it to Adam. And right there, Adam and Eve disobey God. They do not trust that he has the best thing for them. And they realize in that moment that the whole world has changed. Everything has changed. The lion that they used to pet because they were friends, the lion like starts drooling and being ferocious and wants to eat them, right? All of these things start to change. And the biggest thing is that Adam and Eve realize that they are naked. And so Adam and Eve hide. They hide from God. They're ashamed of the fact that they're naked. They never cared about it before, but all of a sudden they realize, shoot, something has changed, and I'm ashamed of who I am. I feel like I have to cover who I am. And God looks for them and finds them and says, what did you do? And Adam and Eve start blaming each other. Well, she told me to eat it, and you gave her to me, so it's really your fault, God. Like, they play this whole big blame game. And God explains to them that because of this disobedience, there is now a curse that has fallen over the whole world, over Adam and Eve, and over all of their descendants. And this curse is essentially that we are slaves to sin. That without, apart from God, even if we wanted to do something right, even if we wanted to obey God, we would still fall short of that over and over and over again. And that's the curse that we live under. Now, when that happened, it was kind of like each one of us was owned by sin, by Satan, by the enemy. We were owned by them. And what happened was, as God said, see that one right there, Cassandra? She's the one that I find value in. And so God goes over to Satan. This didn't really happen literally. This is just me explaining kind of what happened. God goes over to Satan and the enemy and says, you know what, that one I want, Cassandra. I will trade for that one. I will redeem that one. Satan, you think that she is worthless. The world thinks that she is worthless, but I say she has value, and I will trade for her. I am the redeemer. And Satan says, well, what are you going to give for her? And God, because he loves Cassandra so much, says, I'll give my son. I'll trade my son. He can die so I can have Cassandra. He trades for her. Now, we kind of hear that a lot, and I think that even me, I get separated to what that really means. This is what it means. It means that if this was actually happening in this moment, it's like me saying to the enemy, I will give you my daughter Lyra for Cassandra. Now, my 2.5-year-old daughter is absolutely incredible. She's amazing. And I love her so much, it would break my heart to trade for her. But what's happening here is God loves Cassandra. I love Cassandra also. Now, the cool thing about the analogy that falls short of what I'm saying is Lyra can't really come back from the dead, right? But Jesus did. Jesus did come back from the dead. But God traded his son for Cassandra so that Cassandra could no longer be in the curse. Now, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Galatians. Now, that book is towards the back. If you're in the middle and you keep going, you go past Matthew, past Mark, past Luke, past John, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You'll get to Galatians shortly thereafter. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. If you're there, just put your finger on your nose. I know that's stupid, but I just want to know who's there or not. Okay, we still got a couple more people. If you're there, help your neighbor find it if you can. In Joey's Bible, it's 797. In the coffee Bible. All right, Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who was hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse so that we might be given the blessing that was given to Abraham, which was that he was God's people. We can become God's people because of that redemption, because of that trade. Now, here's how this matters for you. Does anybody know what this is? A Team TiVo action figure, right? This is a McFarlane. Dave Shrine collects these. Do you guys know Dave? Dave Shrine collects these, like, all the time. And I think it's ridiculous, but he does. He collects them. This particular one cost him $15, and it's still in the packaging. Now, because Tim Tebow played really well this year, he could sell this on the internet right now for $90. For whatever reason, somebody says this is valuable. Now, the reason I think this is ridiculous is because I know that this is just plastic. This is totally just plastic. And if there was just random plastic that was kind of in this shape, nobody would care about this. Nobody would care about this at all. But it's because it has the image of Tim Tebow. Because it is made in his image, everyone wants it. It's valuable because of that. Now, the same thing is true with you and me. Our bodies, we're kind of just like cheap plastic. We're not really anything all that valuable. In fact, in the New Testament, it talks about how we are jars of clay that can be broken and can be crushed, and that there's really nothing all that important about our bodies. We could die in an instant. We are jars of clay. But there is a treasure that is within us that makes us valuable. And it's the fact that we were made in the image of God. It is for that reason that he says, yeah, you're valuable. I would trade for you any day. I would redeem you any day. It is not because of something that you've done or something that you've said. It is only because you are made in the image of God that you are valuable. Now, in that beginning story, I want you to actually turn to something. In Genesis chapter 1, so it's like the first page of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us. Now, I just want to stop. This is a total side note. It has nothing to do with God the Redeemer. I mean, it has everything to do with God the Redeemer, but not really today. Anyways, God speaks to himself in third person. Let us make man in our image. That's super cool. Does anybody know why? He's talking about him being the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Right there in the very beginning, we have the three parts of God being mentioned real subtly. Right at creation. So let's keep going. Back to where we're going. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image and in our likeness so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all of the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Do you guys realize that you are created in the image of God? That whatever it is that God looks like, whatever it is those traits and qualities are, God said, I want to create something super special. I'm going to create humans in my image. And it's there that we find our worth and value. It's there that God says, yep, I'm going to redeem that one. I find that one valuable. That's the thing that changes us from that piece of paper to the $100 bill. Now, because God is our Redeemer and because you're made in his image, we've got to live that out. So what if I knew that this was worth a lot of money? I totally knew that I could buy lots of stuff with this, but I chose to instead crumple it up and throw it in the trash can and spit on it and never look at it again. Didn't even matter. You would all say that I was a complete fool. Now, this is what I see happening every day with my students. You all are my students. I see that you guys are worth more than $100. And I hope that you know that you are worth more than $100. And yet what happens is you crumple yourselves up. You throw yourselves away into a trash can. You beat yourselves up. You do all these different things because you don't understand the value that you have. And I look at you sometimes collectively and I think, oh, you're fools. You are worth so much more than that. You are not this throwaway piece of paper. You are valuable and precious to God. You have been redeemed. You have been made in his image. I want you to think with me real quick. What are some of the things, some of the ways that we treat ourselves or you see others treating themselves like crumpled up pieces of paper instead of something valuable? What are some ways that we see ourselves or others treating ourselves or themselves like crumpled up, throwaway pieces of paper? Can you think of any? Yeah. Dressing immodestly. When you dress immodestly, when you show too much, when you give yourselves away cheaply, ladies, you look like trash. God has given you something to save for your husbands. God has given you something to protect, and you give it away. What else? What else is there? Yeah, Allison. Drugs and alcohol. Absolutely. Anything else? What ways do we see people treating themselves like trash? Yeah. Unhealthy relationships. So sometimes I see young women and young men getting stuck in a dating relationship where, like, the other person is totally taking advantage of them. Or they're not their best. Like, you act differently when you're in this dating relationship with this one particular person, and whenever you're around them, you choose really not the best things. I like you so much better when you're not with that person. And I'm not talking about anybody specifically. I'm just in general. Any other ways that we don't treat ourselves like the things that we're really worth? We treat ourselves like throwaway paper. Yeah, Dave. Yeah. Yeah, I think what you're saying is that sometimes we let ourselves think that we're worthless pieces of paper because somebody else said we're worthless pieces of paper. Yeah. We listen to what other people say. And anything else? Any last? Yeah.
I would say us being true to ourselves and our values that we have at the expense of our own selves. So going along with something or being talking with somebody and just kind of shrugging off what they're saying is okay and not speaking up for ourselves and being true to ourselves.
Yeah.
Our values that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have one more up here? Cutting. Yeah, I know that that's a huge thing that happens a lot. What I want to do is I want you to hear this. You are valuable. More than $100. More than $10 million. You are valuable. You have been redeemed by the Redeemer. He has looked at you and he has said, you are worth something. I will trade for you. And it's because you were made in the image of God. So the last thing I want to do is in your little notes section, some of you I've seen have been taking notes, others of you, find a spot on that notes section. And what I want you to do is I really want you to talk with God, listen to God, and I want you to really think, have him speak to you. What is a way that you personally in your life have been treating yourself like that piece of paper, like that worthless piece of paper, instead of the redeemed image of God? What is a way in your life that you have treated yourself like that throwaway, worthless piece of paper, instead of the redeemed image of God. And while you do that, just take a second for that. Take a second in this quiet time to pray and talk to God about that. All right, let's all pray together. Father God, I know this is kind of a heavy thing, but you are bigger than even that. Father, I ask that you would bring to light the areas in our lives where we have treated ourselves like nothing, where you say we are valuable. Father, I ask that you would show us what that value looks like, that you would show us truly what it means for you to be our Redeemer. Father God, if any of these students need somebody to talk to about any of this stuff, I just ask that you would give them courage to come and talk to one of the leaders. And I thank you so much that you found us worth trading for. In your holy and precious name, amen.